be movie maniacs.
What?
Oh, wait. Yeah, we're all in the same room.
What?
Recording something.
So. Yeah, we are. Yeah. Well, except for Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am over somewhere else, not...
You're on the other bed.
I'm on the other bed.
We are at WindyCon, and much like our other con special, we went to the dealer room and we found a movie. We're going to do an extra little episode here.
Yeah.
So... Who would like to introduce what we're watching?
Nick Hudson, read it.
95ers, Time Runners. Is this like a series?
It's
95ers, colon.
I'm not sure. Time Runners. Like, I looked up the website. It said the box sends us to a website, and it redirects to 95ers.com, and it directs us to the writer and director of this movie, Thomas Durham's website, and it's got his portfolio and a bunch of other movies he's made. Though weirdly not including this one, so we're about to see why he doesn't want to include this in his portfolio.
It's the embarrassing
one. Yeah, maybe, we'll see.
Yeah, there's a big old paragraph about what this is about, but I think pretty much it boils down to millions of people have died in future wars, and they are going to try to fix everything by going back in time.
Now, there's an FBI agent, who I guess is the main character.
You need that in a movie.
Yeah, yep. And her scientist husband.
Which you also need in a movie.
Who, I guess, dies, but is a ghost?
Yeah.
It says he's a ghost on the box. And what does that mean?
And there's also time travel, and the FBI agent can also, well, she can rewind time, which I guess is a euphemism for time travel.
Yeah, it's not the same baby.
And she has an unborn baby.
An unborn baby, yes, we know about.
There is a target. The target of the bad guys, I think, is an unborn
so
baby.
So, what feature are you guys most excited about? For me, it's the unborn baby. I want to see how the unborn baby part
I'm looking it. Forward to Ghost Husband.
Yeah,
I'm
real excited about Ghost Husband.
It's like this. It's like we were looking through stuff, and there was a bunch of movies there. There's a bunch of classics, and we don't want to do a classic movie. We wanted to find something weird that we've never even heard of before.
Something suitable for this podcast.
Yeah, really. And this thing kept sticking out to me because it like the cover's pretty cool. Like the cover graphic is pretty dope.
Yeah.
And then like the back is just.
There's a bunch of
stills,
stuff.
And that paragraph of text is just the most bonkers thing I've read, and I'm so excited.
Yep, so what do you guys say we pour a beverage and get to it, and then we'll come back and tell you guys what we think of the movie.
Oh, I'm so excited.
She's a 95er.
This, my dear boy, is a measure of how strong her timeline is at any given point.
The cellular energy transfer molecule is known as ATP. What does that stand for?
Who are you? I said, who are you?
Rating time.
Okay, guys. Well, it looks like we all had a pretty good time with 95ers.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing to do would be to rate this movie in 95ers.
Hey, guys.
What?
You know, we actually haven't done the episode yet.
Oh, we haven't?
Probably no. We need to rewind time and review it, and then we can do the rating.
Okay, let's go back in time.
All right.
All right. The
Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Okay, so we just watched 95ers.
Mm-hmm.
Echoes?
Time Runners.
Time Runners?
Time Runners.
So it's a shame we can't go back any further in time because... I misquoted myself in the intro to this. Not misquoted, but I said the wrong thing in the intro. This movie is the same thing as 95ers Echoes. As I, you know, it's this. The DVD we have is 95ers Time Runners, but it's technically 95ers Echoes when it got released or something like that. So
weird.
If you're looking for this movie, and you should.
You should.
It's Echoes or 95ers Time Runners.
I wasn't sure what to expect, but I gotta say, this was a lot of fun. I thought.
Yeah, oh.
Surprisingly good. I did not expect
it. Yeah, I mean, it's a micro.
This entertaining.
Micro budget, right?
I guess, but it looked good. I thought.
Yeah.
You know, the effects were, not terrible.
No, they were, effects, they were.
But there were some miniatures work that were, that was
that looked really good. Yeah.
Now, okay, so the director here is
Thomas Durham.
Thomas Durham. Thomas, we want to know if the prop in the big like particle accelerator room, was that a lightsaber handle?
Thomas, please be listening.
Please
and
be listening.
Please tell us if that was a lightsaber painted. It looks like a toy lightsaber.
It does, but it's
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I love the fact that they used miniatures for this. That was really neat.
Looks like, doesn't matter. It's, you know, you repurpose things like toys and stuff to make it. I mean, that's how a lot of stuff gets made.
But, okay, so I also thought that this was going to be more of a low-budget Terminator, but it really wasn't.
Oh, at the beginning of this movie, like, I think we all sat down and we're like, all right, let's get ready for this schlock fest. Like, it's a late 2010s or early 2010s type thing, and it looks like, kind of the pictures in the back, you're like, all right, there's some special effects. They're probably going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And we sat down and made jokes. Like, we were, for the first, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the movie, we're kind of goofing on it a bit. And then we were quiet for, like, the rest of the, anything we talked about after that was literally us being like, oh, I bet you that's what's going on. I bet you that. Like, we were just speculating.
They had it for the story was, I mean, you got to pay attention to the story, I think.
Sure.
Anything with time, they used the time travel shtick pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And uniquely, I think.
Yeah. Like, I think it, I mean, I see some, like, echoes of this in, like, some of the Stephen Moffat Doctor Who, well, you know, with there were these time travel effectively, or Primer.
Yeah,
I Primer. Compared to
Primer
that,
had come out not that long before this. I think Primer was, no, Primer was like 2005 or something like that.
I
was
thinking, but I caught echoes of that.
You know? keep saying it.
I keep saying
it's
echoes
good.
And
good.
Echoes. But it was kind of a thinking movie. You kind of had to pay attention to it. I thought they explained everything pretty well.
Yes.
But can be confusing if you're not paying attention. That's
the only thing I'd like to know more about, and okay, this is, I think, the entry point into what they wanted to be a series.
I hope, God, please be more.
Yeah, please do more. The one thing I would like to know more about is the villains. Like, I didn't get, maybe you guys caught it. Like, I didn't get a clear sense of what the future villains were trying to do.
Yeah, well, that was probably more going to be handled in
episode two or whatever. Two. Yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, because it was a really good, like, shit, I don't even want to give too much away.
Yeah.
Like, I really want people to watch this.
Yeah. And it's all on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's all on YouTube. It doesn't look like a great cut, and I have no idea if it's from the filmmaker. You can get a DVD of it for, like, $3.50 on Amazon. So if you can get it, check it out. Like, it's worth it. There's a bunch of bonus features I think we're all going to watch after
this.
Yes,
yeah. I think so.
So, but it's all on there, and, like, oh, hey, this is Future Mike here. I just wanted to point out that this movie takes place during Christmas. It revolves around Christmas throughout the whole movie. So I think I'm pretty sure it's my new favorite Christmas movie. All right, back to the present.
So, hey, I just want to say before we get into rating time, the real rating time this time, this movie is not rated very highly on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb
or
anything.
It's confusing that
it's like, what movie did these people watch?
No.
I want to address that. I'm going to look up a negative review.
Okay.
Because there's, I think, about 30 on IMDb.
Okay.
And there are a lot of good reviews.
Good.
Okay.
There should be.
But it is not, the score for this movie is hovering at about,
well, Rotten Tomatoes,
4.3.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes, it's 38%.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's not fair.
No.
At all. So, I want to address this. So, all right. We're going to go to one of them here. Okay. This is 1 out of 10. This is the first one I found. 8 of 12 people found this useful, which also boggles me. Dreadful slime. Not sure who paid for the budget on this incoherent sludge of film, end quotes.
Jeez.
Likely the lead actress's rich husband or lover or whatever.
Dude, Jesus!
Then when this thing parading as film tanked, period, all of her buddies had a sleepover at her LA pad and wrote the fake reviews on here. Some quote the exact description verbatim. Not obvious? This, quote, flick really needs to be stricken from all records and burned. Internet and all physical copies. The scenes are non-cohesive in any way, shape, or form.
It's a time travel movie.
Actors would be better off doing hemorrhoid cream commercials than what apparently passes for acting and the CGI. A third grader could put together more convincing effects. Sad and pathetic all around. By the way, baby bump, not one iota real. Whole thing a massive waste of time and space. Trash it.
Jesus, who left that? What's the user's name? I guess, is anything?
I don't think it actually says.
I guess they're probably not a big fan of Pulp Fiction either.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Fucking, let me address this.
Go.
What do we got in here?
Go.
Well, I don't understand what dreadful slime means, so fuck you for that. It seems like they shot or at least live in Annapolis, so like it takes place in the DC area. So screw you for not paying attention to that. I will admit the baby bump was a little inconsistent.
Yeah.
But whatever. And I don't know. Fuck the guy. Third grader could do CGI.
No
third grader can do CGI. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, and like, sure, the effects weren't like Michael Bay or whatever Hollywood level, but they were good. They were definitely, I would say, more than serviceable. Hey, this is Future Jay. I thought it would be cool to point out that the Durhams made the film. You know, they're a married couple, the director and the lead actress. And I just thought that was a really cool thing, and I bet they had a lot of fun together doing that project. So, okay, back to the present.
I'll tell you who paid for it also. We saw a Kickstarter logo at the, the credits, right?
I wonder if this was a
Kickstarter. It probably was a Kickstarter thing, so the people paid for it, okay? That's what democracy is.
That's right. So, that review sucks.
That guy sucks. Whoever wrote it sucks, too.
Yep. And if you're listening to this person who wrote that, you suck.
Fuck you. Hey, this is Future Mike. Sorry, I should have gotten in on Future Jay's thing about the married couple stuff that he popped back to tell you. But I just wanted to say, like, they didn't just, like, make it together, like, but they also, like, did so much of the stuff in it. Like they shared editing tasks. They're all over the credits. It's awesome. Like, they did a really good job and probably had, like he said, fun doing it. All right, sorry, back to the present.
Hey, this is Future Jay. One thing I forgot to say about them being married is that... Oh, Future Mike already told you? All right, never mind that. Sorry. Back to the present. There were a lot of positives. Like, should we talk about a little bit of the plot?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we should kind of give some stuff about it.
Just a little bit.
Like,
so the basic thing is the woman is an FBI agent.
Yes.
And she has the ability and has had the ability from birth to sort of like roll time back a few seconds.
Yeah, 9 seconds I think is what they kind of describe a couple times.
So if something happens that she doesn't like, she can think about it and rewind and do something different. Who wouldn't like that?
Sounds great. And she uses it in many different ways.
Good.
Yeah, it's never, sometimes it's during a conversation, she realizes maybe she says the wrong thing, and not always is she rewinding it for her own benefit, but sometimes for, like, she says something mean accidentally, like, just comes out emotionally, and then she's like, I shouldn't have said that. So she, like, rewinds really quick, and then just says something or nothing at all kind of a thing.
Yeah.
There was a great scene, though, when she and her husband are in the restaurant, and her husband had suspicions that she could do this, and so he's going, trying to break on purpose every dish coming through and knock over the waiter.
Yeah.
And she's just stopping every one of them.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It was pretty great.
That was a good scene.
Yeah, but there's, like, these other people that are trying to tag into her, like, or intercept her timeline.
Future people.
Future people.
In some sort of apocalyptic...
Looking,
yeah.
And Jay, we kind of got into this a little bit. I thought they were bad guys the whole time.
Oh, yeah. No, see, I always thought they were good. I don't know why.
I'm with you, Jay. I thought they were kind of good guys trying to go back in time to stop the apocalypse.
Yes, and I think the reason I thought that is because... They have, like, these future Time Watcher people have a lot of trouble getting to her. So that's why I thought if it was the villains, they would have just done it for the sake of the plot.
Let's just say the villains had no problems getting to her.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So that's, I don't feel bad spoiling this then, because you guys obviously knew the right thing. I had a big twist in my head that ended up happening was it twisted because they ended up being good. And I was like, holy shit, wait a minute, they're the good guy. And I had a whole fun thing with that because I was dumb.
There are people from the future trying to constantly find her, and they have difficulty being able to get to her for various scientific reasons that they talk about in the movie. Something to do with gravity.
It's nicely, for that point, there's not many reasons. Like, they only describe, instead of, like, tech talking a whole bunch of shit, they're basically, they have two things. There's gravity, and there's something else, I forget. What, probability. Yeah. So there's two items that they're just basically measuring while they're doing that, and I feel that was really good for as the viewer. You're just like, oh, here's two things. They don't try to do some Star Trek bullshit.
They kind of explain it a little bit, but it's mostly hand waving. Mostly like, just like this means this means that. Without both of these, you can't travel back.
Yeah,
you gotta walk and travel back.
Yeah, and the reason they're having trouble getting that all to lock in is because they have a really fun illustration of how a timeline looks. It kind of looks like a strand of DNA almost or something, but it keeps like. Expanding and then converging to different timelines every time.
Those are like the all the times that she rewound time.
Yeah,
like those are the times that happened. The forks. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, so they keep spreading.
Like, and then eventually one.
Then it goes back to one.
The good thing that she does is then it's
comes back into that one follows that timeline.
I enjoyed the visual, like the timeline, the time line visual graphic stuff that they did a lot. In the future.
Usually that's hard to see. Like, you'll see a lot in any movie. No, I don't care how good a movie is. A lot of the time, the computer system and all that kind of... The visualization of stuff, like when they go into the internet and stuff, is always awful. Yeah. It's just... I get you need to make a visual to stuff to make it interesting for a movie, but a lot of the time it just kind of sucks and you just push it off. But this was, this was genuinely effective and...
cool.
Cool, yeah.
Cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, though, I did find the Kickstarter page for this.
Oh, cool.
It looks like they had it mostly finished, and they just asked for like 12,000 was their goal to finish it.
Okay.
But they made 17.
Nice.
And they were able to finish it up. So,
hell yeah.
Thanks to those 224 backers.
Yeah. Only for 224 people made 17,000?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. That's some dollars winning.
What's the top perk?
Yeah. What's the big old perk? What did Mommy and Daddy Durham do?
Let's see.
Sorry if you're listening and I called you that. Sorry.
There was a pledge of $5,000 or more that no one
Okay, but what was the offer?
But they got everything. They get the Kennings Time Displacement Engine. This is the visual centerpiece of 95ers Echoes. So it's probably that model.
The lightsaber, maybe.
Yeah. The galactically cool sci-fi fan or patron of the arts who donates $5,000 will be the proud owner of the actual time machine miniature used in filming and created by Hollywood SFX pro Clark Schaefer.
Oh, cool.
It's the same guy who built Gotham Cathedral.
Okay.
Very cool.
You can see parts of it under construction in the gallery section of 95ers.com. This ain't your granddaddy's time machine.
So this came out, what year again?
2012.
So it's not a stretch to think that there could be more in the pipe. It's not like we found this and this is a movie from 91.
That's true.
Like, it takes a long time to make a movie. So
yeah.
They could be talking about doing more, and they clearly leave the door open.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting that you say that. I'm flipping through the guy Tom Durham's blog here, and there's one of the posts, a recent post, sort of from August 2017, so last year.
Okay,
is about the creator of the time machine, and it's a little blog post about the history of this guy who is in the movie for a bit, J.T. Kennings, and he's the guy who apparently in the year. In the 26th century is created this. So it's in the future.
Okay.
And so like this whole, he's writing about it now.
Expanding the mythology.
Yeah. So like, hopefully that means maybe there's something in the pipe then.
That would be sweet.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I wish we could look into the future.
Well, no, we can't. We can only go back.
Yeah.
We have to let time play out.
Okay. Well, maybe the future uses will...
Send us a sign.
Hey, future us's, send us a sign.
If you're listening to this, future us's, send us a sign.
Hey, guys, this is future Chris. Now, this really won't make a lot of sense here, but it'll totally make sense when you get to the end of the episode. So I just wanted to say 85 deleted scenes, 85 trailers, 85 extended cutscenes, 85 director commentaries, 85 setups, 85 DVD menus, and 85 rogue FBI agents. I think that's all of them I need. Anyway, okay, back to the present.
Should we actually get to the ratings now?
Why don't we do those ratings?
Rating time!
Well, it sounds like we had a pretty good time with this movie. Why don't we rate it in 95ers?
Yeah, all right.
Mike?
All right, so the easy thing to do is rate it 95-95ers. Because it was very enjoyable, but that might be a little high. But, man, I am excited about it.
You had fun with it.
I had a lot of fun. I want to see more.
And I feel like our environment that we watched it in, you know, everyone in the same room, that kind of, there's a vibe of the moment.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, well, which can influence.
Absolutely. Your viewing and we also, I mean, we experienced change watching this movie. As we said, like, we went into this thinking it was going to be a schlock fest
mm-hmm.
and ended up just loving it.
Yeah.
So, fuck it. 95-95ers.
95-95ers.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. I want more. I want more.
No doubt. No doubt. Chris?
All right. Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. It went in with really low expectations, especially after reading the description on the back of the box. Mike and I totally made fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's such an absurd, like, premise. But they pulled it off really well. And it was 10 minutes in, we're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
good. Well, it talks about the ghost. Like, you think there's going to be a ghost.
There's an unborn child and a ghost husband and the time travel.
But it's not really a ghost.
It's not really a ghost, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
But, yeah, I'm not going to go quite as high as Mike, but I'm going to go with 85-95ers?
Yeah.
85-95ers? Oh, wait, nope. Let me rewind that.
Oh, okay.
Let me rewind that. I'm going to give it 85 alternate timelines.
Oh. That is a lot of alternate timelines. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what score, maybe after this episode, maybe you could give us all alternate 85 timeline ratings.
All right, yeah.
We'll count them off, and you spit out 85 numbers.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, God.
Maybe that's a bad idea. We'll see if we rewind out of that. this was a lot of fun, and I didn't think of it the way you said it, Mike, about how there was a change when we were watching it, and I think that's very valuable. Doesn't happen very often.
It won us over.
Yeah, it won us over. And we don't know anybody involved with the movie.
Absolutely not. I would like to.
I would too. Yeah. I would too. I would like to know more about, like, what was actually happening with the villains, you know, but, it's easy to forgive that in this case. I feel like the movie stands pretty well. 'Cause you got the bad, FBI guy and, you know, it works. Everything works pretty well. So, you know, I think the last time we watched a movie at a con, Chris, you and I gave it the same score.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it the same score again. I'm going to keep that tradition, and I'm going to go 85-95ers.
Nice.
So
awesome.
All right. Fun movie.
Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah. So, again, Mr. Durham, get a hold of us. We want to know what's going on.
Please.
If there's going to be more 95ers action, we would love it.
Oh, my God. So. Please, we gotta know, and there's that, like, weird third party we don't know about.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I gotta know what's happening.
It was in, like, a hidden scene that you gotta watch. It wasn't at the end of the credits, but
it was where a stinger should be. Yeah. After scrolling credits happen after your main focus credits, I forget what the term is, but then between those, you got your things on the screen one at a time, and then...
Because it played off, it confirmed a thing we were watching, like, wait, is that the same guy?
Or, yeah.
No, that can't be the same guy. And then
it was great.
Oh,
that was cool.
That was pretty cool.
Fucking great.
It was nice.
That was very cool. So thanks for joining us on this special episode
of WindyCon.
Yeah, at WindyCon. We're going to enjoy some more beverages and maybe check out some of the parties. It's been fun so far.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, hey, how about we kick the theme music here and let Chris start rattling it off his 85 different ratings.
Are you saying that outside of, the dimensional situation, or?
I'm asking Chris to peer into the infinite timelines. He said he gave it 85 95ers.
Yeah.
So I want him to give us 85 different ratings of those different.
Well, I understand, but he's just going to say one. But it'll be technically 85. Just break it off. When you say it, Chris, say 85 different things.
Yeah, you need to give us 85 different things.
But within one thing. So
I'm going to count.
Within one thing.
I don't know. I'm trying to do a bit, but sorry, listener. If this is still in there, oops, sorry.
Okay, ready?
We'll rewind that one out.
All right, let's go.
85 95ers. 85 alternate timelines. 85 tips. 85 tips of the tips. 85 just the tips of the tips. 85 cool lightsaber time machines. 85 confusing FBI agents. 85 people getting blasted in an apocalyptic landscape for no real reason as defined by the movie.
Yeah, we didn't learn that!
85 people getting Marty McFlyed and erased from the timeline. 85 unborn children. 85 Ghost Husbands, which would go along with 85 Ghost Dads.
Hello, Maniacs. This is future Paul Brooks. At your place in the timeline, I have not yet returned to B-Movie Mania. I also did not attend WindyCon 45. However, and this is a little spoiler alert from the future, I do attend WindyCon 55 with crazy Chris Hudson. He cosplays as the Prince of Magic.
Prince of Magic!
And, things get pretty wild. So, you know, check that out in 10 years. Okay, bye-bye.